everybody, and welcome to Penny for Your Top Bots! Answering questionnaires with GWA friends. On the line, we have everyone's favorite Irish guy, Mr. X Ryder!
Woo! Hello! That's fine. I don't have to actually sing my own introduction, though, right?
You do.
No, you can do that. That's your thing, the whole singing thing.
Fine. Rex Ryder! That's a good one.
It is. Transformers, I can do with that.
Okay.
I'm not exactly an Irishman in disguise, though. No.
Oh, I just got that. So, we are doing the Mama Didn't Raise No Foal questionnaire by Rubber Foal. Yes.
That's right. So, Penny, how did you find out about GWA? Were you searching for something like it, or did you just come across it by accident?
A guy I was with showed it to me. He was like, you like auditory stuff, so here, you should listen to this. And then I was like, hey, I like this. And, well, the guy is no longer around, but GWA is. So, good times, good times. What about
you? And
you
are, so, you know, we have him to thank for that, because, you know, if it wasn't for him, even though he's gone now, you know, we wouldn't have Penny, so that's a good thing.
That's very true. What about you? How did you find out about GWA?
I stumbled across it by accident, really. I was just looking around for just, I was looking for relaxation type stuff, you know, ASMR kind of things, and then somebody had done like a sort of naughty kind of ASMR thing, so it sort of led me to GWA, and then I was just kind of like, not necessarily hooked, but I lurked for quite a while before I even came forth and actually did my own stuff. So I just came across it by accident, really, and turned out quite well.
Do you remember what the dirty one was? Like, who did it?
I don't. I think it's something that came, it's a deleted account, I believe. It was one of those, but when you actually saw it on Soundgasm, it had the Reddit link in it, or basically said it was for Comrade Audio, so that's how I found it.
Oh, okay. Do you remember what the basic outline of it was? Inquiring Minds Want to Know.
Inquiring Minds Want to Know. Yes. You say that a lot as well. it was basically one of those, so, you know, trying to relax. It was basically a blowjob as you go to sleep.
Okay. Succinct.
So it started out as a nice sort of like soft sort of like, ah, go to sleep, here's a massage, nice relaxing sounds. Oh, look what I found. Look what else I can do with him out, kind of thing. Because, you know, it's a surprise when you go down somewhere. Like, oh my God, where'd that come from?
Surprise blowjob.
Surprise blowjob, surprise. Cock in the face. Yeah, exactly. So that's how I found it.
Okay.
So.
That's good.
So obviously, at some stage, you made the transition from listener to creator. Do you remember what prompted this?
Yeah, actually. It was Utopia, Ever Distant Utopia. He was the first. Him and Bourbon. Sorry, my heater's on really hot. Him and Bourbon Neat were the two first people I ever heard on GWA. And, and Utopia, he just seemed, I don't know, he seemed nice through his personality, and he had a really interesting voice. So I was like, I'm going to write something and send it to this guy. And then I was like, is that super creepy? Is that weird? But I kind of just wanted to try, you know what I mean? So I wrote that transference therapy one, and I was like, huh.
I remember that.
Pardon me?
I said, oh, you remember that one, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't know if this is creepy. And I made, like, a throwaway account. I'm like, I don't know if this is creepy, but I wrote this script. It'd be cool if you did it, blah, blah, blah. And he was the nicest, most gracious person on earth. And he was like, of course, and he recorded it, and everyone was so nice, and they're like, we want more. So then my ego swelled to the size of a small house. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll post some.
I'm glad you picked house there, because mine's the size of a small planet, and I can't deal with it.
I was going to say planet
ego
for you.
Be bigger. No. Planet for me, that's fine. Nobody's ego is bigger than mine at times, so that's fine. I can deal with yours being the size of a house.
That's completely accurate. I was going to say for yours, I'm like at least a planet. At least.
At the very least. Like, you know, a proper planet, not a planet like Pluto.
I was going to say not Pluto! Which one's the biggest? Jupiter? Jupiter.
Jupiter's the biggest of the gas giants in the solar system, yeah.
Nerd! Yeah, I say Jupiter for you.
Really? Really? You're figuring this out just now?
Yes. So yeah, so then that's what I did. But okay, what about for you? What made you want to go, hey, I'd love to say some filthy things to some good girls? Eyebrow waggle.
Eyebrow waggle, that's fine. basically, it was one of those things where I was listening all the time, and obviously where I am, because I'm an Irishman living in England, I always get compliments on my voice, mainly because of the accent, because they don't really hear it that often, and people are like, so it's one of the things that always gets mentioned and stands out, so I sort of think, well, maybe it's something that could be good. So I was looking at a couple of scripts that had come up, and mainly things that people had filled before, and loads of people fill all the ones that attracted me at the first time. But then I saw the one, it was the tummy trouble thing, which was the first one that I did.
Right.
Because I liked the way that was written and the way it was paced. And it was quite a long one at the time, because most audios only last for about 10, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
This one, when I finished recording, it was like 45. Because it was a really nice script. And because it had the bits in it which most people probably wouldn't go with, like the whole tummy trouble thing, and it seemed a little bit more personal to the person who wrote it, I thought, this is my chance to sort of dive in, even if only this one person listens to it and appreciates it, you know, at least I've done something for one that I didn't think would get filled as much.
That's nice of you.
So, partly because of that, and I thought, well, if not that many people listen to it, it's not going to be terrible anyway. At least I did something. I know for a fact at least one person's going to listen to it. I don't have to go, right, here's a really popular audio, I'm going to pick this one, and then everyone go, ah, you're actually a bit shite, get away. You know?
DWA people are way too nice for that, but go on.
I know that, but you know, when you're on the outside looking in, you don't know that.
That's true.
When you just look around, you sort of think, oh, maybe it's a secret special club and you're not allowed to join in and stuff like that, so you don't know. But you look at almost anything that people put up and it's all full of, you know, people praising or, you know, constructive criticism as well. So I like all this bit, but maybe you could have done this, and you know,
yeah,
those kind of things. So that's exactly what, you know, prompted me to do it.
Hmm. Okay, so for you, what makes audio erotica so appealing?
I think this is a question that appears in a lot of questionnaires, this one, I think. I've answered this before as well, which was basically the theatre of the mind. As mentioned before on Backstage, I do play Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that, and I'm quite a fan of reading. And with things like that, with the reading and the audio kind of stuff, you get to create your own scenario a little bit in your head.
Yeah.
So it is the theatre of the mind. You make the things up. You can alter little bits to match how you would like to see it. So it's literally a case of you can be entirely enclosed in absolute nothing, just darkness, and just listen to this one thing, and everything gets heightened in a little bit. It becomes really perfect. It becomes, you know, a different sensation. Rather than, you know, like watching something, it's all right there and there for you, and you know, there's no real deviation. You can't sort of make something up at the same time. But with an audio, you know what's being said, but everything, you don't know who's saying it really. You can attribute that to any sort of physical person. You know, your mind can change and meld things around. You know, it becomes a more accessible thing. And when the audio eventually stops, you can potentially continue it in your own mind. In the same sort of vein, you know, if you wanted to add something in afterwards, you know, brings up. And what about yourself? What do you like having your ears tickled?
Actually, you kind of summed it up perfectly. I don't really know what I could add to that, because that's exactly it, is that you're in control, and I always find imagination is 10 times better than what I can see. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like even in horror movies, you know, in horror movies, whenever they actually show you the monster, there's always that kind of part of you that's like, not really as scary as I had it in my head.
Exactly. Sometimes the anticipation and the bit that you make up is better than what. It's like, I know this is a bit of a segue, but it's like
you
when,
segue? Never. Go on.
I know. Me? We have a ramble and just go off on a tangent.
Never.
That never happened. No, but it's a little bit like what's going to happen in the next Star Wars film.
Yes.
Because they've already said that they will be revealing Rey's parentage.
I know.
The actual answer, and when it happens, is going to be like a damn squib. It's not going to be as exciting as whatever anybody dreamed up. There's all kinds of different theories about what or who she might be. Three main theories right now for her is basically she's a Skywalker.
No.
She's a Kenobi.
Yes.
Or she's Poe's sister.
What?
Poe's younger sister because of, I think it's in one of the comics, it ties in a little bit there. something to do with Force. The Force sensitive trees. And basically, so they went to rescue a tree and it got planted near some sort of academy, and she was born right close to it and basically bonded with a tree in that way. Just a little bit different.
Fuck.
About how to get it. But yeah, apparently Poe's sister. Look it up. There's a theory on it
somewhere. Okay, I'm going with it. On my vote, I think she's Kenobi. That's my vote.
I hope she's a Kenobi.
Me too.
Really. Because then obviously, you know, you've got Kylo, who's named after Ben in the first place.
Yeah.
And then Rey, who is a Kenobi. So it gives them a little bit of a connection. And obviously, we've already had our own discussion about what we think is going to happen with those two anyway.
I still maintain. Exactly. Yeah. I think it's going to happen.
I agree with you. I think that's going to happen.
We won't spoil it for everyone, but we are probably right.
Yeah, we have a theory on that. But when it happens, the actual reveal is when, you know, whether it's Luke just going, here's a big dusty scroll telling you, you know, your birth certificate or whatever. It's not going to be as good as what you anticipate. You can imagine being really, really... Or like when they reveal who Snoke's going to be.
Have you heard the theory that he's like a midichlorian? Like, that he's like a small, like expanded midichlorian?
Yeah.
Like leader of the midichlorians. Is that how you say it? I don't know.
Midichlorians, yeah. Midichlorians. He's basically... There's one theory. He's a midichlorian, but was corrupted by evil and darkness at the edge of the universe. You know where Palpatine was saying that he got a lot of his power from.
Yeah.
In like episode 6. Right?
Yeah.
It's basically a corrupted midichlorian that's maybe can harness the universe and project himself. There's also somebody saying he's just Palpatine resurrected or something like that. It's like,
I'll be so disappointed.
Let him be something else.
Yeah, anyway. It can't be Palpatine. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, but. I get you.
Yeah, it's similar to that. The actual reveal, a lot of the time, unless it's a really good surprise reveal, is never as good as a lead-up to.
Correct. That's why I think the Paranormal Activity show... Do you remember the... Did you ever see those, Paranormal Activity?
Those movies? Yeah.
Okay, but do you remember the first one? The reason I think it was so successful and so scary is because you never actually saw what the thing looked like. It was always suggested to you. It was always hints that, like, he had a cloven foot or he might have horns. Do you know what I mean? But you never actually saw. So in my head, that thing's fucking terrifying.
Exactly. And then it's like all the build-up and all the word of mouth, the Cloverfield, when that first came out.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. And then you saw it.
Right.
And then you saw what the monster was and you're like,
Yeah.
You know, it just went straight from brilliant, brilliant, brilliant balls.
Yes.
That's how it went.
It was exactly that. Brilliant, brilliant balls. Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
So. Okay. Right. Penny.
Right.
GWA often allows creators and listeners to explore taboo kinks. Have you ever learned anything new about your own sexuality since discovering GWA?
Actually, a lot. A lot. I mean, I still consider myself fairly quote-unquote vanilla, which is not a bad thing, because everyone's going to be like, Penny, why?
It's a good ice cream flavor.
It's my favorite ice cream flavor. But everyone's always like, Penny, don't get down on vanilla. And they're totally right. I'm not getting down on vanilla. I am just observing that my tastes run the gamut of vanilla. But I've learned, like, the whole... like M-Dom sub, F-sub thing. Like, I didn't really get it. And then I heard audios, and I'm like, oh, okay. I get the appeal. Or, like, the good girls and all that kind of stuff. I was about to say,
would it be a certain two words that I said, and there was a lot of people who went, oh, I didn't know I liked this until now.
It's true.
Literally. Before I did anything, it was basically good girl and kitten.
Yeah.
And it was like, the amount of people who just went, I had no idea that did anything for me. And I was like, well, I'm glad to help.
Yeah, you are. Well, your ego can swell even further. Because, yes, I am legion. One of the legion of girls who are like...
Legion of people. You are the president of the Rex fan club.
It's true.
If you want to join in, you know, ask Benny. She'll send you a t-shirt and a badge and everything.
I was going to say I have pins and little flags.
Exactly. Little flags as well. The little Rex flags. That's fine. I just picture that waving the flag with, you know, t-shirt and everything. Anyway.
Obviously.
Yeah, why not?
But yeah, so those ones. Yeah. I mean, that's not very exciting, but I don't know.
It's still something. No, it's not nothing. You know,
yeah.
It's something. It's letting you, you know, explore something that you didn't realize or know before.
Yeah, and I like reading other, even though other kinks may not appeal to me, I still like reading about other people's. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes to challenge myself for writing a script, I'll do something that has no appeal to me whatsoever, but I like to understand the psychological implications. Like, why does someone like this? How can I turn that into something that's appealing? You know?
That's the thing that I find as well. Is basically, I've not really learned anything new about myself or my own sexuality. I was pretty much, you know, confident in all that anyway. But it's learning what people find in other things, why they find certain things, you know, really, really appealing to them, or what it is about the things that I find appealing that people like different aspects of. You know, it's just finding how different people are just so varied in the things that they like, and, you know, people just explaining that and going off. That's the bit that I found, is just exploring things like that. Like you said, you know, understanding things or challenging yourself is something you wouldn't normally write about.
Yeah, like, I'm sure that you, I know that you say that you haven't learned anything new about yourself, but maybe you've done scripts that you normally would not have.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously, the way the voice is and the way that I can be, I do obviously tend more towards, you know, endom or gentle endom or whichever.
Correct.
You know, that kind of thing. But the really sort of like lovey-dovey sort of like almost boyfriend experience stuff would be things that doesn't appeal to me, but I don't mind giving them a go, you know, because obviously it does appeal to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in, I think on the old account as well, I did do one where I actually did the audio for a sub as well, which was very beyond me, to be fair. So I have tried things sort of out of my wheelhouse kind of thing.
Yeah. And have you enjoyed it?
Well, it's always fun to record.
Yeah.
You know, and the main thing for me is, obviously, as long as I enjoy the script and I enjoy recording it, when you get the feedback from the people who listen to it, or the person who wrote it, and people who it's intended for, you know, when you get the feedback, that's the best sort of thing, you know, just knowing that somebody out there is appreciated, even if it's a case of just a quick sort of thanks for recording this, that's enough. You know, you don't have to be really effusive and, you know, over thankful, which, don't get me wrong, I'm all for that.
I was just going to say, you love the effusive and over thankful, you
liar.
I
do, I love the effusive thing, you know, exactly, you know, postcards to the usual address, you know, all that kind of thing. I'm fine with that, you know, but, you know, just as long as somebody, you know, listens to it and enjoys it, you know, that's fine. Whether you listen to it once and go, that was all right, and just like that, or, you know, you've got it permanently bookmarked and you play it every single day, it doesn't matter to me, as long as somebody enjoys it.
There's a healthy ego in Jack. Good to see.
I've got to do that, you know, come on.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
No.
Do you have a GWA idol, Rex, that is someone who inspires you and you have a deep respect for, and why is her name Penny? Feel free to name drop. More than one person is allowed if they inspire you in different ways.
Oh, more than one.
More
okay,
than one.
Well, there is this one who's called Penny for your top box.
Yes.
She really, really inspires me because she got such a wonderful grasp of the English language, and her scripts are so magnificently well crafted. Have you ever heard of her?
Do you know, she sounds amazingly cool, so I should check her out.
She sounds absolutely fantastic. You should do, she's brilliant.
Okay, good.
But while I'm not really busy stroking your ego, the two that I would mention as my idols, you know, people who inspire me or I've got respect for, would be Pawn Finisher and Moondance with me.
Good choice.
Because they were, when I first sort of lurked around and listened, obviously as a man, I would be listening to the FRM audios, you know, listening to women doing whichever. But then when I got more sort of intrigued and thought, well, maybe I could do this, I started listening to the M4F stuff just to see the craft and how they do it. And those two really sort of like struck out to me to begin with, just because of how confident and how well they're recording, and just, especially like Moondance, just the meaning he gives to almost every single word that he says.
Yeah.
And I've said it many times before, and I'll say it again, he's basically the benchmark that I see. When it comes to GWA, is basically that's what you should be aiming for. You should be aiming for that.
He'll be so flattered you said that.
Exactly. I got him on this imaginary plinth, you know. Just very close to just worshipping, you know.
But, oh, he'll love that.
Exactly. It's basically, but, you know, I've yet to hear an audio that he's done which is bad in
any way.
You
never will. He will never make a bad
Exactly. one. It'll never happen. You'll never hear a bad one. If Moondance is filled, it means one of two things. You're going to get a fantastic audio.
Yeah.
And that the script is good enough for him to pay attention to anyway.
Correct. Correct.
Exactly. So basically, it's basically a huge stamp of approval.
It kind of is, actually. You're correct.
Yeah. Stamp, and same with, like, Pawn Finisher. He puts his own little spin on a few different things. He's done a couple of scripts as well, which are quite good as well. So, definitely. Those two are the ones that sort of, you know, inspired me and put me through. And what about yourself, Penny? You know, who inspires you, or, you know, why have you got such a deep respect for me?
Well, to be honest, like, your ego is going to expand, but yeah, you are one of my favorite GWAV voices because your acting really always sells it. You never rush through a script, which is always appreciated, and I don't know, you always seem to become the character, if you will, quote-unquote, even if it's a bad character that I hate and I'm like, ugh, no. And then the other one for me that I have to pick is another scriptwriter is probably... I actually really like Galanthea's work. I find her writing to be really well-researched. I find her stuff to be really...
Exactly.
It's a niche market, but it's a market that I dig. Do you know what I mean? Historical stuff.
I completely
stuff.
Agree.
Yeah. She's just a really good writer.
Yeah, and there's not enough historical things.
No.
She does it brilliantly as well.
Yeah.
They are exceptionally good scripts. I'd agree with you. If you're looking at script writers that I would put up, Galanthea is definitely going to be
there.
That Penny girl that I mentioned earlier,
she's
relatively good writer.
Relatively good, you fucker. Okay, go on.
Penny's a fantastic writer.
Thank you.
The amount of her scripts that I've actually filled, you know, kind
that
of tells
true.
That. Ben in the Woods also does fantastic scripts, and Super Happy Death Squad as well.
I haven't read enough
they'd
of
be,
Super Happy Death Squad.
They'd be like top four. I didn't mention them in any particular order.
No.
You can all fight it out by yourselves.
I'm number one, yes. Go on.
You are number one.
Yes.
Yeah, Penny. In all of our hearts, you are number one.
Yes, that's all I ask. That's not greedy.
Anyway.
That's all I ask.
Anyway, carry on. Tell me more about your idol. I've spoken enough about this right now.
It was a good point. Those are some of my favorites too. Except I don't think I've read a lot of Super Happy Death Squad, so I'll have to do that after this. And Melty, not just because she's part of my girl squad, but because Melt My Happiness, her voice, she's like the female equivalent in my mind to you, because she never rushes through anything. She has a really soothing way of speaking. And I don't know, when she fills stuff, she has a lot of conviction in her voice, so it sounds, I don't know, it sounds like she believes what she's selling, which not everyone can do. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know, sometimes, I don't mean this as a slight to some people, but sometimes you can almost hear them reading it.
Yeah.
You know?
They rush through.
Yeah, it's a little bit rushed, you know.
And I'm like, take your time. Plus, Melt puts up with my horrible Australian accent attempts, so she gets bonus points.
Yeah, sometimes your accent attempts are better.
Brilliant? Brilliant? Is that the word you're searching for?
No, I was looking for a word that didn't sound as terrible, but you know what, terrible kind of thing.
That's
sometimes you,
so
fantastic
mean!
Ones. Some of them are really bad. I mean, come on.
Australian?
The last question here, you did, that Australian accent from England somewhere, that was down south somewhere, you were almost a Cockney, you know.
My Australian accent is getting even better then, mate.
You're from around there, but, you know. I'm pretty sure everyone from Australia would be going, no, you sound like you're from New Zealand.
I know, Melty's like, I can picture Melt just going, Penny, your accent sucks, right at this moment.
You know what, I can hear her doing that.
She's
shaking her head at the same time. She's
right?
Like, oh, God, no.
She's like, I'm going to have to give you more lessons, Jesus Christ.
Penny, not again.
Pretty much, yeah. I always try it. Same with Irish. I cannot do your kind of accent.
Fair enough, because I can't do yours, so...
No, please, for the people at home.
Not a chance in hell. Please.
Just say, I... Come on. Am.
Say it to you. Am.
Canadian. Hey, that wasn't bad.
You just said the word Canadian. Well done.
Well, yeah.
Well, you know the phrase that I taught you to try and do it, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't remember it. What was it? Say it again.
Right. Whale.
Oil.
Beef. Hooked.
Whale, oil, beef, hooked.
Let's say them all together.
Whale, oil, beef, hooked.
No, you put in a weird sort of when you're saying hooked. No, just whale, oil, beef, hooked.
Whale, oil, beef, hooked.
That's slightly better, that's fine. That'll do.
That was our accent part for everyone at home so they can learn to speak just like us.
Yeah.
Yay.
Or just get really embarrassed.
Yes, that too. Probably that. Okay, number six. Okay, performer. Rex, tell me about the environment that you record in. Is it a bedroom, an office, any kind of special apparatuses to assist you in recording, etc.? Let us in on it.
Well, unless a cup of tea counts as special apparatus, I don't have any special apparatus. But I always have to have a cup of tea near me when I'm recording, because I just need it. It's become just a kind of thing.
What kind of tea?
You know, just... Not necessarily superstition, but it's literally a case of I have a cup of tea, I'm relaxed, I can carry on, I can do it, that kind of thing. So I always associate having a nice cup of tea with relaxing. But normally I will record, it will either be in my bedroom if I'm required to potentially make either bed sounds or excessively stimulate myself at the same time. Don't snigger at that.
I didn't.
I'm trying to do this as tension as best I can, rather than just going, oh, I forgot to wank a lot, I'm sitting in the bedroom, you know. But no, I try to be a bit more, you know.
Thanks for cleaning it up for the people at home.
Yeah, exactly. I tried to do that, and you were just like,
that's not how I sound. That was so offensive.
I can't do your accent.
Okay, go on.
So yeah. And you didn't snort, you sniggered, so.
You're wanking away in your bedroom, go on.
Exactly. It would either be in the bedroom or I would do it at my dining room table.
Why the dining room table?
Because it's a nice, slightly wider open space, so the acoustics are actually a little bit better in there. Plus, I have a table in front of me, so literally I could have tablet, phone, cup of tea, all right in front of me, and I'm away, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's handy.
Yeah, but that's literally, I don't really go to too much special lengths, and a lot of stuff that I do, unfortunately, is kind of amateurish. So basically, the recording will be done either directly onto the tablet or onto the phone. I don't have a particular microphone. I don't have editing software. Most of the things that I do are done in like one or two takes. Or I'll go back into the recording, just record over certain parts. It's very sort of ham-fisted. So I'm quite glad that a lot of the things work out as well as they do. As they are. You know, it's very sort of almost Stone Age at the time.
Do you use Audacity?
That is the one that I do have. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
But I've not really sort of really gone into it. I mean, I was tempted when I did the Halloween one, where I did my second script that I did myself. The one where I did it all as the devil. That one. I was tempted to mess around in Audacity and just change the pitch of the voice in certain parts and stuff like that, or add like a background echo. But in the end, I thought, I can't be bothered to learn how to use this entirely just for one script. That's a little insight into my laziness there.
I respect it.
So, question six for the script writers. So, dearest Penny, do you listen to music whilst you write? If so, you have any favorites?
Yes, Rex, I do. I listen to the same soundtrack probably 80% of the time. I listen to the Duke of Burgundy soundtrack. Have you ever seen the Duke of Burgundy?
Probably somewhere.
It's on Netflix. Okay, everybody, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's great. Just for the sound.
Like now.
Like right now.
Pause this audio, right?
Yeah.
Go and watch it and then come back.
Yeah, we'll wait for you. We'll wait for you.
Yeah, we'll hang around and wait.
But yeah, so the soundtrack to that is amazing. I also really like to listen to Muse, the band Muse. I find their music to be, I don't know, weirdly sensual, but like also keeps me upbeat. I don't know, it gives me energy to write, but it's also, I find it, a lot of their, the riffs and stuff are really sexy to me. I don't know why.
That's what, who doesn't love Matt Bellamy? Muse are
right?
Fantastic.
Right? I love Muse, but I don't know. I'm sure there's some people out there that are listening to this who are like, fuck, not Muse. I love them. I love Matt
Please.
Bellamy.
Do not let me know if you don't like Muse. I might not be able to speak to you again.
Yeah, I'm probably on that camp too. So just don't let us know. Don't let us know. Just pretend. Yeah. Keep your Muse hatred to yourself.
Exactly. Keep it decent.
So yeah, those are the only ones for me. Performers for number 7. Has anyone in your real life, who presumably doesn't know about your GW escapades, ever remarked that you have a quote-unquote sexy voice?
Boy. I have had people say I've got a sexy voice before.
I knew it. How did they bring it up?
Well, some people will literally just go, ooh, I like your voice. That's quite
no,
sexy.
No, wait.
You have a sex.
You're walking down the street. You're walking down the street, talking on the phone. Right. A girl comes up to you. Rex, your voice is so sexy.
I have never had a random person just like stop me in the street and say, excuse me, sir, you sound like you have a sexy voice.
That has never happened. Boy.
Excuse me, sir,
you have a sexy voice.
Exactly. I just wanted to put like a 1950s infomercial voice on for no reason. But
extra.
I've never had a random person do that. It's always been someone that I know or I've seen in a pub and stuff like that. Your accent's sexy. Mainly people say the accent's sexy, not my voice.
That's true.
But sometimes I don't know whether it's something that they're serious about or it's literally I have an accent that isn't common in the area that I'm in, so automatically it becomes something to like or want because it's different.
50-50.
Exactly. I'm assuming that obviously if no matter where anyone's from, if you go somewhere else and you have an accent that's different, people will sort of either go out of their way to point it out to you, like, really? I'm Irish. I had no idea. Exactly. Or they'll say they really like it, but part of it might be because they do, or it might be because it's new and different. So sometimes I'm a bit sort of wary whether or not they do think it's sexy.
Do you want to know why they think it's sexy?
Why is that?
Colin Farrell.
I wondered how long it would take before you and your Irish love would somehow worm its way into here. I've got a constant battle with this Farrell guy.
Oh,
tell you one thing though. How many times has Farrell ever called you a good girl?
You know what? You don't know my life, Rex. You don't know. He could be in my backyard right now. The answer is never. The answer is never.
He can't be in your backyard, because that's where I am. No, wait, no, I'm not.
That sounds
I'm not hiding him. No.
No, everyone, he's not actually stalking me. And if he is, he's really good at it, because I haven't found him yet.
That's the thing. You never know which corner Farrell's hiding behind.
You know, like, you're like, oh, well, if I go somewhere because my accent's different, guess when that doesn't work? When you're Canadian. Trust me, no one's going, ooh, what a sexy accent you have. Is that Nova Scotian? Trust me, no one.
No, no one's doing that.
No one's going, oh, what a sexy Canadian accent. No, nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
Are they not doing that? Right, let's go to know that they're not doing that.
So, you know what? Take some pride that your voice probably is sexy, because it doesn't happen with every accent.
If people come to you and say that your accent is sexy, do they stick an A on the end of it?
Oh, that's really sexy, eh? No.
Yeah, exactly. Did they do that?
No.
You said that again, Penny. That was delicious.
I'm not saying that. Don't want to give you too many boners. Like, God forbid.
Exactly. You can't be doing that. Not that. Ooh. So sexy, eh? Right.
So sexy. Hey, let's that was pretty on. Good. That your Canadianisms are improving. They're improving.
So, question number 7 for the scriptwriters.
Yes.
Are sexy audios the only thing that you write? If so, would you consider venturing into non-erotic writing of some kind? If not, what other sort of writing do you already do?
Sexy audios are not the only thing I write, shockingly enough. I was telling someone this the other day that I actually submitted... okay, this is terrible. This is like pure greed. This is, you know when, like, the 50 Shades thing came out, and it was really popular, even though it was horribly written, and it was, like, pretty much steaming pile of garbage? Well...
pretty much, you mean entirely steaming pile of garbage?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to be too mean. Well, you know, like, and I was like, if that can get published, like, holy sweet fuck, surely something I write that is equally filthy but better written would be published, right?
Exactly.
So I sold my soul and was like, I'm going to write something totally filthy but, like, compelling. So I did. And I submitted it to a publisher, like, the first two chapters, and they were like, oh, we're really interested in this. Like, please, like, send us follow-up chapters. And I never did it. I never sent follow-up chapters. Do you want to know why?
Why is that?
Because I was like, holy fuck, what if someone actually buys this? What if this is how I am literarily remembered? As the girl who wrote fucking garbage because she wanted to capitalize on a trend. Like, how fucking depressing would that... Like, my life, Ray Bradbury would be looking down going, what are you doing, Penny? Like, I just couldn't.
Don't. You can't do that. You can't disappoint Ray Bradbury.
I can't. Not Ray. Not Mr. Bradbury. Okay, number 8. Rex, what do you feel is your most underappreciated, overlooked, or underrated work? The audio or script that you felt was really good, but not many people listened to or upvoted it. Convince me to go and listen to it right now.
Right now.
This can count stuff from your old account, though, because...
Well, obviously, because there's not that much on the new one.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I'm trying to think what's the most... overlooked or underappreciated one. I mean, there's a couple that I put up there that didn't get as many hits as I thought would.
Like what? Give us an example.
Well, I already mentioned earlier the Halloween one, the devil one.
Yeah.
Because it was quite a long one, and obviously there was a lot of Halloween stuff going on at the time. And I thought, obviously, because a lot of people have been saying, oh, you know, we want to hear some people come out with their own things rather than just constantly filling scripts. So
yeah.
There were a lot of people who were saying, oh, I'd be interested in hearing your own stuff. And obviously there were a couple of people who listened to it who were, you know, quite, effusive with the praise kind of thing. They said, this is brilliant. Why don't you write things more often? But
yeah.
It didn't get as many hits as I thought it might do just because of the, you know, the subjects and the subtext and stuff like that.
Well, it was a pretty niche
also,
kind
the,
of script.
It is a little bit. When I did, obviously, my Penny Fest that I did, if you remember that.
Penny Fest!
It was a Penny Fest. One of the ones on there, which I it was either the train ride one or the library one on there. I thought that was some of the best work that I'd done.
The library one is your best one. Go on.
Yeah. Because of the five that were up there, I think... it was the least listened to one in all of them, and I was a bit surprised.
That is offensive.
I mean, after a while, it built itself up after a while.
Post the library immediately. Post it now.
I'm not going to do it right this second, but,
right,
you know, I will. It'll be something that I'll put back up. There's a couple that people have asked me to put back up, so, you know, I need to do that.
Because that's some of your best acting, in my opinion.
I mean, honestly, there's... The one which surprised me, though, that was a lot more popular than I thought it would be, was one of the more extreme ones. The one which is, I'm not your fucking daddy.
Do you remember that one? No, I don't know that one.
It was one that I got, which basically said, you know, taking somebody else's girl who basically has, like, a daddy-style relationship, and basically just goes, I'm not your fucking daddy. And then basically just uses her in a hotel room. And that actually became the most listened to audio that I had.
What? I didn't even remember that
one.
I'm a pretty bad stalker.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that one.
You are. You're failing. I think somebody else. If anybody else wants to, you know, apply for the position of president of the Rex Fan Club, seems as though the current one appears to be failing, you know.
I am. I don't even remember.
Applications to the usual address, please.
I don't even remember that one. Like, at all. Well, it's probably because
yeah,
as soon as I see anything that says daddy, my eyes glaze over and I just move on. Because it's
just
not my thing.
Exactly, but that's the thing. You're basically saying, I'm not your daddy, so I'm not going to be, you know, nice and gentle and DDLG with you kind of thing.
But do you say the term daddy a lot in it? Because that'll wreck that. For me. Not for anybody else.
Yeah. I think the word daddy is in there a couple of times, but it's always a case of, oh, go and run over to him, you can't deal with me, kind of thing. It was never done in that. So, that surprised me. But
yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple that I kind of think.
Do you regret deleting yours? Do you regret deleting your old one?
I do regret the fact that a lot of my things can't be accessed anymore.
Yeah.
I don't regret deleting everything, because it was one of those where sort of like, unfortunately, you know, real life was trying to interfere, and you got to go, oh, crap shenanigans. Yeah, and it's all gone.
Crap shenanigans? No. Do you often say when life gets hard? Crap shenanigans.
Oh, crap. Shenanigans. No. there was a comma in between them. No,
oh, my mistake. Okay.
It's just the easiest way just to go, right, yeah, things happened, let's move on. So it was easier just to, you know, plausible deniability.
Got it.
So, yeah, that became a lot easier that way. But it is something where I've said plenty of times before, I've still got, like, the raw original recordings of a lot of things. So eventually when I get round to it, or finding where I actually kept the audios, because they're not on my phone anymore, so I've got no idea where they are. They're not on my phone. They're on my laptop somewhere.
Figure it out.
But my laptop is like 700 years old.
Doesn't matter. Figure it out.
They're on there somewhere, or they could be on a memory stick somewhere. I'm not sure.
I can't be the president of a fan club if the guy is not posting the audios. I can't be president for that kind of a fan club. You know that.
You are so demanding.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
You are so demanding. But obviously, because I've only got the raw audio data.
Yeah.
I have, basically, it's only whatever I've saved the audio as. So that might not even be the name of the script. So I've got to literally go back through everything, try and find out what the actual names of scripts were, what the tags were, who originally wrote them, before I can upload anything back to anywhere.
Jesus.
So, you know, it's a bit better there. And I've got to, you know, listen to all my nonsense again. Anyway, Penny, what is your most unappreciated, overlooked, underrated work? You know, which script did you feel was extremely good? Convince me to go and read it and act it out now.
I don't know if you can act it out. You probably have acted
out
all of them.
Right now, not like right this second. But, you know, convince me why that script is so good that everybody should be recording a version of it.
Oh my god, it's a lot of pressure.
Pressure.
No. Okay, can I cheat and look at? Don't do music. It'll stress me out. Don't do the music.
Right.
Okay. Can I please go to my Pastebin and see which ones I've written? Is that allowed?
I suppose.
Yes. Okay, Phil, tell a joke while I'm looking it up.
I have to do it from memory. You have to go and search. See.
Well, do you have a catalog of all your stuff? No, we just established you don't. So I do. Okay.
Not anymore. Oh, that's fine. Again, people, if you want to apply for the position as president of the next fan club, put your applications to the usual address. As you can see, this is why I'm looking for somebody else, because this president is really failing in certain places.
You're the meanest. Whatever. I give up my position. I'm president of my own fan club.
You're not. I'm the president of any fan club.
Okay, deal. All right.
Not maybe not the fan club, maybe just the creepy stalker who stares in your window. But not actually.
Some other guy has already told me he stares in my window, so I don't know. Maybe the two of you can be friends.
It's not that Farrell guy again, is it?
Oh, how did you know? I know.
Get you one day, Colin.
Do you ever look through your old stuff and you're like, ugh, I didn't like that. Why did I do that? Sometimes I do that.
I have done that previously.
Right? Before. And you're like, why did I do this? Sometimes I'm like, why did I write this shit? Like, barf. But whatever. Oh,
exactly.
I know. Okay, so there was one script that everyone was like... Because remember, like, back in the day when I was a young, impetuous GWA scriptwriter, I'd be like, guys, give me a scenario and I'll make it sexy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I remember.
You remember? Kind of, right? And I'd be like, give me a scenario. I want to write a script about it. Because I was like, I'm boring. I want to write something that's outside of my comfort zone. So I remember one person was like, they wanted someone who was like part cat and like...
I remember that one. Yeah, I know. I've talked about that one.
Yeah. And I worked really hard on this stupid fucking script. And I'm like, well, this is fucking weird. But hey, I'm into it. This is fun. Like, let's try this. And I was like, oh, this is so much fun. This is so different than what I write. and it got, like, the script, like, the thing, I actually think this script is one of my most upvoted ones, and no one fucking recorded it. Ever. Ever. No one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, of course, I was like, what the fuck? My ego's crushed, but it's an F for M, so you can't help me out.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I know you would if you could. You can put on, actually, put on a really high-pitched feminine voice. Let's see. Maybe you could.
I really don't think so.
You've already done the accent. I won't make you do the high voice. Okay.
Like I said, that's not going to happen.
All right, fine. All right, so that one was mine. So that one is called The Experiment. It's about a half-girl, half-cat.
Because who doesn't want a half-girl, half-cat?
Well, I think a lot of people did. That was the point. They were like, this script, yes, it needs to be filled. And then just nobody filled it.
And then it never got filled. Some kind person, please help me out and do a recording of an audio about a girl who is half girl, half cat.
Yes. If you can orgasm while also meowing, then you fit the bill.
That sounds intriguing and disturbing at the exact same time.
That's what I was going for. Number 9. Rex. Have you ever had an idea for an audio that you thought was really amazing, but you couldn't pull it off because it was too ambitious or not viable for the audio erotica format? If so, tell Dr. Penny about it. If not, try to come up with a crazy idea for an audio that would be impossible to record. Go!
I've not really ever come up with an idea that's going to be too crazy, because I'm just the actor, essentially. I'm not the ideas guy when it comes to audio stuff. So I have seen a couple of scripts that I've looked at, and I'd be like, I'd love to record this, but I might not be able to. But that's mainly because of my severe limitations when it comes to sound effects and stuff like that. Some of the things are really, really ambitious, and more should be on film rather than audio. So that's the only kind of thing that, to me, sometimes seems not viable for... the audio erotica format, pretty much, is just literally, it's too ambitious. You know, there's a bit too much to it. And some of them are fantastic. There's a couple that you see as well where it's on completely the other scale. It's not really ambitious and overly sort of intrinsic. It's really lazy and lazy writing. And it's just got like a couple of lines and then improv. Da-da-da-da-da, improv. And he just does this, and then he's got like 5 orgasms in the same script. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ.
I don't know what number we're
right.
Number 10?
We're still on number 9. You, being the ideas person and the script writer, you know, have you ever actually had an idea for something that you thought was great but you couldn't do? You know, you come up with a crazy idea for an audio that would potentially be, you know, impossible to record.
I kind of did. I thought that it would be fun. Because, like, you know how people are always doing group collabs and stuff?
Right.
I thought it would be fun to do one. You know, okay, I don't know if they have this over in the UK, but, like, those dating shows where it's a girl and then there's 3 guys, like, panel, and they're all hidden behind, like, a heart-shaped door or something. And it's like...
Yeah, we've had stuff like that before.
Yeah, like guy number 1, what would you do to take me out on a nice date? Do you know that kind of thing? So I kind of wanted...
We had that, yeah.
Yeah, like the love connection. I don't know what it's called. Anyway, I always thought it would be really fun to do a script like that, but obviously like pure filth. But I couldn't make it come together in a way that didn't feel fucking weird, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It seemed like a fun idea, and I was like, ha ha ha, and I laughed to myself thinking about how it would go down, but I don't know. If someone else can write that script, like, God bless, but I can't. Yeah, so that one would be impossible to write / record. But if someone could do it, more power to them.
That's fine, you know, yeah, if someone can manage that, why not?
Yeah. Number 10.
Yeah, I probably have. Number 10.
Number 10. I'm going to read it first.
Go ahead.
Okay. Rex, what function does GWA and your GWA persona have in your sex life? Does it allow you to fantasize about things that you would never or could never do in real life? Or is it just a natural representation of who you are sexually?
Well, it's not really much of a fantasy kind of thing. It pretty much does represent myself sexually for the most part. The only sort of like fantasy things come in is when it's obviously a fantasy style scenario, or it's something that I wouldn't normally do. You know, like again the lovey-dovey stuff, or you know the subby tender kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the reasons why sometimes some of the MDOM stuff that I do comes off quite effectively is because it is things that I've actually done before anyway, and it's something that, so it comes a little more naturally. It's not as much as I'm playing a part or I'm playing a character in this case, or I just take a certain part of myself and turn it up a little bit.
That makes sense. So do you use the good girls and kittens a lot in real life?
Kitten is one of my favorite terms of endearments, really. So it is a word that I do use a lot anyway. Good girl, occasionally, it's a situational one that it is very much the case. That's a very dumb sort of area for myself.
That makes sense.
You know, so obviously, if they have been a good girl, why not let them know they've been a good girl?
Okay. You know,
makes perfect sense. But yeah, kitten is something that I will throw the word kitten out quite a lot.
Mm.
I was about to say I will throw kittens out all the time, but that sounds a bit ridiculous.
Oh,
I don't throw kittens
out everywhere.
I just
picture you throwing little kittens all over the room.
No, I don't throw kittens. I love cats too much to do that.
Beans would be so mad.
She would. Beans would be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Exactly.
Especially if she was the one that I threw.
No, you can't. That'd be so mean. You could just hear this jingling, like, jing, 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 jing. That was
exactly. Just jingling everywhere. That's all she does. Just jingle, jingle, jingle. Over and over and over again.
In behind all your audios.
Exactly. You can always hear it. It's like an Easter egg that I put in all the audios. Somewhere you'll be able to hear a little tinkling bell somewhere because there's a cat either running around outside the door or is literally just sneaking around in the room.
Just saying something super sexual and then it's like, tinkle, 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 tingle, tingle.
Exactly. Just jingling in the background and you're like, oh,
you can pretend it's ASMR, you know, relaxing. The jingling bell.
The jingling bell of a rambunctious cat.
Aw, baby.
Just what you need.
This is true.
So, what about for yourself, though? What function does GWA and your GWA persona have for yourself and your sex life? You know, does it allow you to fantasize about things that you could and never could do, or is it literally just who you are anyway?
That's a tough one. I mean, I think who I am on GWA is who I am in real life, for the most part.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, I'm actually like this super goth, miserable person, and I just pretend to be happy and sunshine online.
Could be.
You never know. I have a lot of black eyeliner.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome. I think it's hard to say. I think that it allows me to explore things I never would have thought about in the first place. I mean, opens my eyes to, I don't know, different sexual scenarios or terms or whatever that I never would have known in real life. So, I think in a way it's a natural representation of who I am sexually because I'm still learning who I am. Sexually, so
that makes sense.
Yeah, does it make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Obviously, it seems like it is because you're still learning. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Okay. All right. The last question. Are you ready? Are you emotionally prepared for the end of our questionnaire?
For the end of it? No, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if I can handle it.
11. Everyone loves positive feedback. Tell me about the comment or PM that made your day, week, or year. Note, if you're going to share a PM, it may be prudent to obtain the sender's permission before sharing it. So Rex, what was the best comment or PM that you ever got on GWA about your performance? It's a toughie.
It is. It's a hard one. Obviously, a lot of the comments and the PMs that you get doing the kind of things that you do anyway through this, they're really sort of positive in the first place. It was hard to kind of pick a particular one. The one that I would probably say sticks out would be a PM that I got. I'm not going to mention any names or anything, or you know, give any kind of identifying marks. But basically, it was somebody who was basically just thanking me for being as natural as I could in a particular audio, and giving them the confidence to try doing it for themselves.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, does that make sense?
So, yes.
Yeah, because kind of in the way that I listened to a couple of people and went basically, right, this is something that I think I can do. These people are really good at it. I want to have a go. I inadvertently done pretty much the same thing for somebody else, and they let me know. They were just great to say, or listen to something that you've done. It sounds natural. It sounds like it comes to you, you know, really well. You're not doing anything particularly fancy. In a questionnaire, I said before that I pretty much either use my tablet or my phone to record. I'm not, you know, really fancy, and I just go for it. And they sort of like thank me for just for being, you know, real, you know, in aerial grammar, you know,
yeah,
real. And, you know, just being accessible to that point where they go, right, they'll have a go themselves. So,
do they post
that's
now?
Probably the... They do. So, you know, it's good. I like it. But no names, no identifiers, nothing like that. If you just stay between me and that person, it's just good to have.
But it came from a
what about yourself? It does. It came for a sucker. I like it. So, what about you and your positive feedback? What kind of comment or PM, you know, made your day or week or year or whichever?
That's a tough one. I only say that because everyone's really kind. Do you know what I mean? And everyone says really nice stuff.
Why?
But I got one person who said that the way I wrote is how they speak. If that makes sense, like it sounds like. What was it? It sounded like something they would actually say out loud, like in the pacing and the words that I used and stuff, and that made me feel like $1 million because I try to make my script sound authentic. Like, I don't want it to sound really like a play or like a book. I want it to sound like two people who are sharing an intimate moment, you know what I mean? So
yeah, you want it to sound realistic, like a natural pattern of speech going back.
Yeah, and I, for one, don't speak like... I don't like you would if you're being a dom, or do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't use.
Yeah, so yeah, you need to try and put yourself in that position and come out with something effective.
Yeah, so sometimes I get nervous because I'm like, oh well, I wish I wrote more like blah blah, or I wish my scenarios were more blah blah. But I don't know. I do what I do. That's all I can do.
You do.
I do.
You do what you do, and you. And you're very effective at it, you know.
Thanks.
Which is quite good, because obviously in a lot of the scripts that you've written, there's different sort of, not scenarios, but points of view that come across as well. So, you know, for, you know, a pale, white Canadian girl, you don't have, you know, write bad for, you know, a male dom, you know, considering that's something that you're definitely not. You still access that fairly well. So, you know, that's a testament to your writing talent on that, at least.
Thank you, for one. And yeah, I guess that's true. That is true. I am definitely not a tall dom male. That's true.
It's true. You're not.
I'm just imagining myself as one that made me laugh.
Unless, you know, this is all a ruse and you're the best actor that's on GWA ever.
Yeah, I'm actually all the actors on GWA. I know I said that.
It's just like one sort of strange breakdown of you talk to yourself and try and get yourself off. This is weird. This went really weird, really quick.
Well, that
See, that's the other thing. You know, this isn't two people. This is just
this
me.
This is just me.
Exactly. Or is it me? Or is it me?
Or is it me?
Exactly. You never know.
We're the weirdest people on earth.
And now people are going, what the heck? What the fuck happened
to you?
Is
she having a psychotic break midway through her... Yeah, don't know what to tell you guys.
Exactly.
Sorry. This is why I answer questionnaires with friends.
They get to the last question, and then everything just falls apart, and they start talking bollocks.
Well, Rex, thank you for being on my new and improved show, Questions and Answers with Friends. with
absolute pleasure.
Thank you. You and should probably.
What was mine again?
Well, I was going to say you should probably sing yours.
I can't remember. It was Transformers, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it just like Rex Rider?
Hey, you know what? I'm impressed with you. You're a good sport. I'll have you on again. Thank you very much.
That's fine. I'm okay. Just find me in your garden when you want me on again.
Well, you and Colin will have to fight for it.
That's fine. I'll punch him in the throat before he has a chance.
Bye.